Today, you know, it's only 3 weeks to Christmas. And I want my message today to work on both sides, the spiritual side and the natural side, trying to alleviate some pressures. You know, the radio stations are playing Christmas music and stores are having sales and churches are getting ready for Christmas programs just like we are. People are putting up decorations. Some people have already started buying presents and some people haven't. You know, one person said this: one of the most glorious messes in the world is the mess created in the living room on Christmas Day. And don't clean it up too quick. You know, this is a great time of year for most people. But sometimes some just don't have anything. And they're not looking forward to Christmas. Some families have lost a loved one. Some families have a loved one, like we have several here in the church that are serving our country in a foreign land today. And don't forget to pray for them. Their names are listed in the bulletin. You know, other people have had a tragic event that happened during the holidays. And we need to be sensitive to all of these, you know, and do what we can to help. You know, if you know somebody that's they're going to be by themselves on Christmas, how about inviting them to come over? You know, we have done that for several years now. In fact, these people that come have become like part of our family on Christmas. There's one young man that he's been coming to Christmas with us for I don't know how many years now. But, you know, we need to be sensitive and do what we can to help somebody during this time. You know, and another thing that happens is that people are under pressure to get the perfect gift. You know, it's said that during this Christmas season, according to the American Research Group, that shoppers say that they're planning to spend about $929 for gifts. That's up from $882 last year. Now, that's the American Research Group. Now, that whoever they are, you know, they put out these things all the time. Different ones do. But according to their figures, that means that $275 billion will be spent in America this Christmas. You know, in fact, some stores that don't do very well during the other 11 months of the year are the 10 months of the year taken in November, December. Actually, it's these 2 months that put them in the black for the whole year. You know, and yet that doesn't even begin to compare. $275 billion doesn't even begin to compare with the gift that God gave the world, Jesus Christ. You know, I guess we would call God the original gift giver. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us as well, how shall he not with him also freely give to us all things? We must remember that God gave the most important thing. He didn't give us gold and money so that we could have plenty. He didn't give us things by which we can occupy our time. He didn't give us jewels and treasures that are highly esteemed. But God gave the perfect gift, Jesus Christ. And in him, all the other needs are met. Amen. The money is met. the good things that we enjoy life with is given to us. Hello. God gave the thing he loved the most, his son. He gave his most valued treasure, his son. Remember, giving his son to mankind to be our redeemer, he made a way for us to have all the blessings. The blessing of forgiveness, the blessing of provision, the blessing of healing, the blessing of his presence and power. You know, let us rejoice in Christ our Savior, because he is the perfect gift. You know, that's what I'm talking about, the perfect gift. And I'm talking about it on both sides, natural and in the spiritual side. So I want you to stay on both tracks, okay? The wise men gave gifts at the first Christmas. We'll read from Matthew 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, and during the reign of King Herod, about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asked them, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." Skip down to verse 7. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search out for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy, and they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, maybe we can learn something from these wise men. You know, they seem to be giving the perfect gift to Christ. They gave of their treasure. They gave of what they had. And their gifts were unique. Each gift was different. Each one wasn't trying to outdo the other. They just gave what they had. You know, but they all gave one thing in common. They gave honor and love. And the gifts were accepted. And this shows us that we, now going to the natural side, we don't have to yield to the pressure of buying something we can't afford. It's okay to give gifts that are different, that we can afford. Just because somebody else in your family or at work can give a better gift than you can give, don't worry about it. You see, all gifts are different. All gifts need to can be unique. And the wise men, notice this, they gave as they gave, it was in connection. See, here is the natural in connection with the supernatural. They gave in honoring and worshiping Christ. We need to understand that as we give gifts, we should also be honoring Christ. Amen. You know, that's a pattern for us to follow. Worship God and honoring Christ keeps everything in the perspective. It's not the gifts. It's worshiping and honoring Christ. See, I'm going natural and supernatural this morning. I want you to get spirit and natural, spirit and natural. Even though we give a gift to our family, to our friends, to people, our work partners, at the same time in our heart we say, we're giving natural gifts to people, but Father, I'm honoring, in giving this gift, I'm honoring you. I'm worshiping you because you gave the first gift, Jesus Christ, to me. You see, when we begin to think and act like that, then we're not consumed with trying to outdo somebody else. We're not consumed with trying to find the perfect gift. I think with the wise men here, this incident shows us that it's important to give gifts from the heart. Not out of compulsion, because they wanted to give. Nobody twisting their arm. Nobody was whipping them and making them give. They came and gave because they wanted to give. You know, sometimes we feel pressured to give. And perhaps, even though we know God was the first gift giver, probably and maybe, and it could be, that the idea of giving gifts at Christmas time actually stems back to these wise men bringing gifts and giving them to the Christ child. That could be where we, God's people, God's creation, gets the idea of giving gifts. Could be. I don't know. That's just something that I thought about, you know, and was thinking about. How many of you realize this could be where it all started? Hello? See, let me say this. As you're shopping and buying gifts, don't buy gifts that is going to take you the rest of the year to pay off. Now I'm back to the natural side. See, people go in debt because they feel they're pressured to find the perfect gift that their loved one, their friend, co-worker, or somebody needs. Don't be pressured. Realize that you can only do and you can only give what you have. Don't try to overgive. Each one of these wise men came with their gift. I don't know whether they got together and talked about it or not. But each one brought what he had, what he gave what he could give. That's what you need to do, is to learn to bring a gift that you can give. Now let me say another thing. At church sometimes, money is taken for gifts and different reasons. Hey, don't give what you can't afford to give. God will honor what you give out of what you have. Don't give above what you have unless God specifically speaks to you and tells you to do so. Don't let some televangelist, don't let some pastor put a guilt trip on you if you don't give. See, we in the natural sometimes get this pressure, and that's what I'm talking about. This time of the year, people start feeling pressure. Oh, I can't give what Aunt Susie's going to give. Well, who cares? Do what you can. And if you give it from the heart of love, the person that receives it should be grateful for it. I want you to notice gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I know they got all kinds of things that it represent and all that. But I imagine the gift of gold was a whole lot more valuable than the others were. But I want you to notice that Mary and Joseph didn't say, well, hey, he give gold. What are you doing? These are not as valuable. Why? No, they received them all. I want you to notice that the one that gave gold, he didn't condemn the others because they didn't give something of more value. Come on now. I'm just doing some good, practical, down-home teaching to you people today, to try to help you to realize you can have a great Christmas without it costing you an arm and a leg. Hello, come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't put yourself under pressure. Just give what you can. You know, how many of you enjoy receiving a gift? We all do. So, when we get a gift, instead of looking at the value of the gift, look at the heart of the giver. And realize they are giving because they want to give, and that's all they can do, and receive it with glory and with honor. Hello, come on. See, Proverbs 19:6 said, every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. You know, we buy gifts for different people for different reasons. But too often we're only buying the gift so that they'll think good about us. And that's the wrong reason to give a gift. Are you buying a gift to get approved, somebody's approval? Are you buying a gift because you want to give a gift? You know, that's one of the reasons in places, and they used to do it sometimes when I was a kid growing up in church. You have a party, and everybody had to draw names and had to bring a gift. And then you're sometimes you didn't have the money to buy a gift, and they put everybody out. And I said, that's crazy. You know, if I want to buy my friend a gift, I want to buy him a gift. I don't want to be forced to draw a name and buy somebody a gift. Now, if you do that in families, that's fine, because y'all all agree together that's the way y'all going to do it. That's great. No problem. But to draw names and give gifts just to be given a gift, oh, it's getting quiet in here now, isn't it? Things we need to keep in mind is the fact that if we give a gift, give it because it's given out of a heart of love, and because you want to give, because that's what God did. He gave out of love. Said, for God so loved, he gave. Amen. You know, as you're shopping, you know, and buying gifts, remember that the Word of God says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now go back up and read the verses in front of 33. And they all have to do with our natural things. Houses, lands, and food, blah, blah, blah. Okay? See, as you're shopping, be wise. Don't spend more than you can. Be more concerned with people than you are things. Amen. Be more willing to give than to get. Focus on making memories instead of spending money. Now I realize Pastor's just talking out of his heart, but you're my people. And I feel it's my responsibility as a minister and as your pastor to get you focused on the fact that you don't have to go in debt for Christmas. You can still have a good Christmas without having a lot of money. There are people that will spend thousands and sometimes millions of dollars on cars and planes and gifts to give to somebody, and they'll have a miserable Christmas because it was done because they wanted to show off, or they felt like they had to. If you have it, do it, all right, and you want to, but don't be pressured to give just because somebody else does. See, be the bearer of good news. Sometimes that's the greatest gift you can give. Some of the most valuable gifts don't cost a lot of money. For example, forgive someone who treated you wrong. Remember, Christ forgave you. Men to quarrel or apologize. Give something anonymously that you have, that is yours, that is valuable, that is of value to you. Take a meal, a bag of groceries to a less fortunate family. Amen. See, that's what we're trying to do with, we're trying to give 40 people a Christmas gift, meal. Visit someone that you know that nobody will go to see. There are hundreds, I know this for a fact because my grandmother was in a nursing home, but there are hundreds of people that will sit in nursing homes on Christmas and nobody will visit them. Thank God for our nursing home teams. We got, I don't know how many nursing home teams we got that go every week into the nursing homes. 16? We got 16 teams of people that will go into the nursing homes. They do it every week, but they especially will do it this time and visit those people. I know that we have one of our members, Brother Paul Denai. He has a ministry where he travels every week. If you're on Facebook, you can see it. How many of you have seen that, Brother Paul, going to the different nursing homes and ministering every week? He's sort of like a circuit riding preacher. And he is all over different cities here in Oklahoma. You know, especially be kind to someone. Someone you work with. A little story. One mother said her most meaningful gift came last year. My 10-year-old daughter wrote a letter on her own, stashed it behind the Christmas tree. She surprised us with it after all the gifts had been opened. She expressed her gratitude to my husband and me for being her parents and told us how much she loved us, and it brought many tears of joy. I've since framed this simple handwritten letter and hung it on the wall of my bedroom. It will forever be the most meaningful gift I have ever received. See, Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God forgives, so let's forgive. God loved, so let's love. God gave what he had, let's give what we can. God gives comfort. Let's comfort someone. Give good things, even when somebody doesn't deserve it. Remember, God gave his son when we didn't deserve it. You know, the greatest gifts are not what cost the most. The greatest gifts are those that are given from the heart that say, I love you. I'm here for you. You mean so much to me. Let us also, as we give gifts, and as we go out to buy gifts, don't put yourself under pressure. Give what you can to who you think should receive. But never, ever forget to give thanks to God for what he's done for you. And never, ever forget to give in your offerings and tithes. And every time you give, remember what God gave to you. It's a special time of the year. So make it so. Let it be so. And don't be under pressure. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments today, simply to remind them that, yes, in the spiritual, we need to realize that we received the greatest gift when you gave. But Father, help us also to realize that it's not the gifts we give. It's not the gifts we get. But let us realize that it is the heart from which they come that is most important. We thank you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you've rejected the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. And you can receive that gift today and walk out of here blessed and whole. Or if you're here and you know what it is to receive the gift of Jesus Christ, but you haven't done exactly what you know you should do and you need to rededicate your life. Or if you're here and you go to church, you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. A lot of people are that way. They've been going all their life, but they don't know whether they ever accepted Jesus. If you're here on any one of those three invitations that I just gave, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now, anywhere in this building, anywhere. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need to know that you know Jesus Christ on a personal level. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Is there a hand? I don't know whether there's a hand over here or not. I don't think. Yes, there was a hand. Thank you. Are there others? Are there any others? Would everybody stand, please? If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I am going right down front. I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here. I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray with you just like I said I would right now. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hands, come on now. If you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody that walked down there with you. Come on. Come on right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need an also experience with Christ. Come on, right. I'm waiting on you. If you're in the balcony, see the ushers, they'll help you get down. So come. Just thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They're telling me that there wasn't a hand raised. They just thought it was. Well, praise the Lord. Some probably need to raise their hand, but they probably need to come down here, but they're not coming. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if there happens to be one person in this place today that needs to know you or that needs to rededicate their life, or a person that goes to church and they don't know whether they've ever accepted you or not, I pray that the Holy Spirit would deal with them until they can't be satisfied doing anything, until they stop and accept your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Today,